This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. Our every now and then contributor Justin Rowlett from the BBC has been working on a series about new ways to look at the global economy. Through a microscope, in a manner of speaking, elementary business, he calls it, the chemical elements and how they make the world's economy go round. Today, atomic number 79, the symbol is AU. Hey, Justin.
Hi, Kai.
Gold, my friend. It's in them thar hills.
No, at last, we've come to the most charismatic of all the elements, haven't we?
I suppose.
But the interesting thing about gold, Kai, is chemically how uninteresting it is. This is an element that barely reacts with any other element.
Yeah, well, how did it become, as opposed to, I don't know, lead or iron? Why is gold the thing that it has become?
Well, that was the question that we asked, and we kind of got a copy of the periodic table and, you know, systematically excluded elements. And it's quite easy when you start to think about it to see why, of the 118 elements there are in the periodic table, why many of them just simply would never be suitable for currency. So, for example, a gaseous currency is never going to be that good, is it?
No.
I mean, carrying around little files of colourless gas is going to be pretty hard to establish what you've got. Then you've got all these reactive elements, you know, the really reactive elements. You don't want an explosive currency. And again, you brought up lead and iron. Well, both of those do, they're not as reactive as potassium, but both of them do corrode in moist air. So it turns out that the fact that gold is so uninteresting is one of the reasons why it's so useful. You know, you can cast a gold coin and it'll stay almost exactly the same kind of for eternity.
But didn't I read, and it might have actually been in your piece, that all the world's gold ever that was mined in the history of people fits into a cube 20-something meters on a side, right?
20 meters by 20 meters. It's absolutely extraordinary. I mean, every bit of gold ever mined in history. And because gold is so precious, we tend to recycle it.
We have in the bowels of the Federal Reserve Building in New York City, deep in the Manhattan bedrock, huge piles of gold bullion. I'm sure the Bank of England has its piles, right? It used to be...
We sold a lot of gold, actually. Yeah. Our previous prime minister sold the gold, actually, at the bottom of the gold market.
Nice.
Sold off a huge
Nicely
amount.
Done.
Because obviously, we, like America, we used to have a gold standard
right,
currency
exactly.
as well. We used to have a currency pegged to gold.
But, you know, every now and then you get people, especially here in this country, Ron Paul, in the last presidential election, wants to take us back to the gold standard. It comes up every now and then.
I think psychologically, we like the idea that, you know, in exchange for the notes in our wallet, we might get something in return rather than more paper. But actually, in economic terms, it means you're bound into a much less flexible economic system. You know, you're dependent on those reserves of gold. And actually, historically, these fiat currencies, since 73, when Nixon decoupled America from the gold standard, these fiat currencies have performed very well and arguably better than gold. They're much more stable.
Right. You look at gold now, and it was $1,250 an ounce, you know, a couple of weeks ago, but it's been as low as a couple of hundred bucks not too long ago.
Yeah. 2001, it was $260 a troy ounce. It peaked at $1,921 a troy ounce in September 2011. So, I mean, a huge kind of range of value. You wouldn't really want a currency that exhibited that kind of range of value, would it?
No.
And it actually makes a non-gold standard currency seem, you know, rather more convincing when you look at the performance of the dollar over the same period.
We should do bitcoins next.
Bitcoins is a great story.
Justin Rowlett from the BBC.
Cheers, Kai.